Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1851. The topic is mindset, and the title is Three Tips to Create Deeper Connections. One of the services I do is called a business client, where someone who is in the health and fitness business, mostly it's personal trainers, but I've talked to gym owners and a couple other categories, but it'll be someone in the health and fitness industry, and they're wanting to improve their business in some way. They want to make more money, to be able to make a better living, so they love being able to help people, but they also want that to help them. And that's a great goal, so that way you can help other people to a greater degree. You know, that's a wonderful thing. And part of that service, we talk about personal development, we talk about business development, we talk about anything that seems to be the thing that would help them progress. One of my clients, we're doing these, with that service, we do weekly Zoom meetings. So we meet every single week. And in those discussions, it's just fun. We get to learn a lot about each other, get to kind of dive into their world. We talk about anything and everything that could help. So one of my current business clients, he's a trainer. He works with a couple other trainers, and they own a studio together. In 2022, so last year, he started the year with only about five clients, because he had started kind of in the late end of the year of 2021. He got it, like everybody was leaving COVID kind of craziness. And he always wanted to be a personal trainer. In 2020, he got a certification. He did some other odds and ends. So he was really feeling ready to take that on. So in 2021, he officially started in January. He started with five people, and he built up to 20-somethings, he said, by the end of 2022. So he had 20-something in-person clients, helping a few people online or through emails and stuff. But he said it was a pretty consistent, somewhere in the mid-20s, within just 2 or 3 months, that was what the whole year stayed was. But through 2023, he's actually dropped down to under 10 clients. So he's lost about 10, 15 clients throughout 2023. What's worse is he said that he lost quite a few of the clients specifically to the other trainers that he shares his studio with. And I was like, really? And we started talking more, and the clients, like, they would start with him, they'd do 1 or 2 months, and then all of a sudden they would say, you know, hey, I was talking with so-and-so, and I think I'm going to start working with them. And he's like, oh, you know, and after the first time, he was like, oh, you know, what can you do? You know, maybe they're, you know, I'm glad they're still going to stay healthy, I'm glad they're still going to move, maybe they just connect better, you know, with the other trainer. And then the second time it happened, third time it happened, fourth time it happened, and now he started to be like, oh my gosh, what is going on? So as we were talking, we did two of our weekly Zoom meetings by the time we had the following discussion. So I asked him a question at the end of our second Zoom. I said, there's one of my best friends. We have a pact to talk to each other and tell each other when something we're doing stinks. And we laugh and we say it's the smelly kid in school. So everybody knows when you're growing up in high school, there was one kid who probably stunk. Right? They just stunk up the place, and you try to avoid them all the time. But that was like the smelly kid in school. And no matter what you did, the smell permeated through the room. You try to get away, but you just couldn't get away from the smell. And what I joke with my friend is if he sees me doing something smelly, if he sees me doing something in my life that stinks up the place, he does have my permission to tell me, hey, I'm kind of noticing this. Maybe I want to just raise your awareness to it. Maybe you want to look into it. But I do see it, and I don't know if you're seeing it. So we have permission to tell each other if we smell. So I laughed at the client, and I said, that's a funny story. I said, but I'm asking you, do I have permission to tell you if you smell? And he laughed, and he said, well, absolutely. That's what I'm paying you for. So I laughed, and I said, well, when people speak to you, when your clients are telling you their struggles, their complaints in life, their stories, what are you thinking? Like, while they're talking to you, What are you thinking? Are you thinking of how to solve the problem, or are you listening? In the conversations that I'd had with that client, in just the two Zoom calls, they regularly cut me off to finish a thought or to continue a thought that they were having, even if I was several words into my own sentence. So I would start a sentence, I would get a few words in, they would talk right over me, and they had absolutely no recognition or acknowledgement that they were doing that. And they did it very often, to the point where within the first session, probably within 15 minutes, I was like, ugh, I'm just going to be listening. In the sense to where this isn't going to be like a back and forth dialogue. This is just going to be me listening for a while. And it went the whole first session. It was going the whole second session. And I was like, this dude not paying me to be his therapist. I said, I got to step in here. So I brought that up to him. And I said, what that makes me feel like is that you're not listening when I'm speaking to you. So if you cut me off and don't acknowledge it, it doesn't seem to have any recognition. And it's not like you cut me off where we just both start talking at the same time and then you get to continue and I stop. I'm several words into a sentence by the time you cut me off. So that makes me feel as though you're not listening when I speak. And although this service is about you, saying that to the client, although this service is about you, you tend to relate all of your stories. And when you tell me the story of, well, my client was telling me this, and then I told him that I had that too, and then I did this and this and this, you tend to relate all of your clients' stories and their issues to you. The stories and the issues that you've had. You immediately try to point out how their problem could be solved and that it would be easy to solve. Do you wonder if that makes them feel as though you discredit their struggles? You relate everything back to you rather than keeping it on them. You tell them everything can be solved easily, meaning that you think you're trying to sell yourself and your services and your abilities. But what you might actually be doing is discrediting their struggle. So you're cutting them off, and then you're telling them everything they struggle with isn't hard. That's not going to feel good. That's definitely not your intent, but that's not going to feel good. There's a quote that I actually try to remind myself of, is no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. So I said to the trainer, I wonder, if the clients like the facility, if they believe in the training method that you and the other trainers use, because they have a similar method, a style that they use, they have the money, they have the schedule, they have the resources for personal training. But you're still losing them as clients. Maybe they just don't feel connected with you. Now, he handled that conversation really well, so props to him. And we decided to try some things going forward. You know, from that call to the next call, we were going to try some things. And then we're going to tweak them and try some more, tweak them and try some more. At the next check-in, he said he got into a couple deep-level conversations with a few clients, and he got an extra referral out of one of the conversations. At the two-week mark, so 2 weeks after we started trying to implement the tips I'm sharing in today's podcast, he said that he's been trying to connect better with his clients. He felt overall calmer at work and less frustrated. His spouse actually commented that he wasn't coming home as angry and complaining and frustrated as he usually did. And he said that in his check-ins with his clients, he was getting extra info, is what he called it. They were opening up more, telling him a few more things. And there were actually two clients he had who were struggling with things and weren't adhering to everything, but they weren't telling him why, and he was kind of struggling with what to do and how to approach that. And they started actually opening up and telling him more about their struggles. They felt safe, and they felt as though he cared. So they started telling him more. As he continues to focus on deeper connections with his clients, he's going to have a greater retention rate, for sure, and greater word of mouth, to continue to build his clientele. He will find more satisfaction and happiness in his job, personal benefit, and he'll also be able to increase his business success. So we haven't met for the third week yet, but I'm excited for him. I know it's going to continue to help because it's already started to make a difference, not only in how he feels, but he's starting to see it in how his clients feel. So I wanted to share the three tips that I had him try and think, I don't know, I was hoping maybe they'd help you. So if you want to make deeper connections, here are three tips that can help. The first thing I told him was, in your office, write this quote on an index card or a piece of paper and put it on the inside of the door. He could also do it on the home screen of his phone. You could do it really anywhere. But this is exactly what I told him to do, is put a piece of paper or an index card on the inside of his door. And I want you to write the quote, "No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care." In the normal hustle and bustle of life, it's easier to revert to our old ways. When we feel overwhelmed and we have a million things to do, we tend to streamline our efforts by defaulting to what we already know, to what we already do. But this leads to us doing the same, which gets us the same, which isn't where we want to stay. So I told him that the reminder will help remind him to do different. When you get overwhelmed at work, when you're stressed, when you're tired, you missed a meal, when somebody's complaining and they're not doing what you want them to do, it's very, very, very easy. We do it without even recognizing it. We default to old habits. But doing the old keeps us where the old got us. It keeps us the same. Doing the same keeps us the same. So setting a reminder in an area that you want to do different, that you want to do new, is a great idea because it'll keep you focused in that area and keep you more aware of what you're doing so you don't default to the old habits, the old way of thinking, the old behaviors. I actually have a sign on the inside of my office, and it says, "Love is patient, love is kind. Be the type of person you want others to be first. Lead by example." And what this helped me when I was growing the gym was, before I whined and complained about what others were doing, I wanted to make damn sure that I wasn't doing it first. So if I complained about people not putting equipment away, I had to make sure I put every damn thing I ever touched in that gym away. Because if I can make mistakes, if I forget, if I'm lazy, then I can't expect other people to be better than that. I have to know that what I want others to do is possible. So if I expect everyone to be perfect, well, I can only do that if I'm perfect first. And then be like, okay, this is possible. Why the hell aren't they doing it? Or, yeah, this is possible. Now I've learned some of the challenges, some of the struggles, and now I can share with others on how to do it. But often, what I liked about that for myself was to remember to be patient and be kind to others and to lead by example, to always keep myself in check. The second I think I'm perfect, I'm screwed, because I sure as hell am not. And I don't want to treat other people in a way in which I expect them to be perfect whenever I can't even be perfect. So that was my sign. It really helped me calm down and make sure that I was kind to people, even when I was frustrated with how things were going at certain times. But that's a reminder I shared with the client. I wanted them to put on their door, is no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. The second tip is to respond with a question. When a client tells you something, when anyone tells you anything, respond with a question. Ask them about how what they're discussing makes them feel. If they're complaining about something, ask for details. Ask for clarity. You want to just ask questions. Ask to get to know not only what they're saying, but to get to know them. Like, why is this an issue for them? What about it is an issue? So if they're struggling to get food in on time, don't immediately respond with how they could do that better. Say, oh, really? That's, do you know what's the biggest struggle? Is it getting the right types of foods available? Is it getting the right amount of food? Is there like a certain time of the day that is this biggest struggle? Ask questions. I told the client in the session, I said, you have 2 ears and 1 mouth. Use them in that same proportion. And that was what I wanted him to think of, is when people tell you something about them and you respond with a comparison, which is what he tended to do, you miss the connection. And this is a ridiculously common way that people speak. Is somebody will say something, that'll remind them of something in their own life, and then they just say something that's a comparison back. Like, I like red trucks. I had a red truck. Like, it should be, I like red trucks. Oh, really? You know, have you ever had a red truck? Like, ask a question in return. Don't just say something about a red truck. Make the conversation meaningful. Make what you say relate to what they said. Not in a comparison way, but stay focused. Try to focus on creating deeper connections. Don't compare. Care. When people are talking to you, don't compare. Care. Ask questions. Stay focused on them. Be a listener twice before you speak. Listen, ask questions, and listen again. You have 2 ears and 1 mouth. Use them in that proportion. Listen once, ask questions, and listen again before you speak. Now, I do understand that asking questions is speaking. But what I mean is, don't take the conversation away from them yet. Don't take it into a different direction. Don't try to answer their problems or solve their life. Stay in the conversation. They're going to talk. You're going to ask one or two questions and let them talk again. Keep it focused on them. Be a listener twice. Twice. Listen, ask questions, and listen again. And then the third tip was to ask if they'd like help. When someone complains about an issue, ask questions. Show you care. And then, before you try to solve their problem, make sure they're actually ready to do so. Solving problems requires effort. And it usually requires new actions or new ways of thinking. It requires effort. And often when people have been struggling with a problem, they're mentally and emotionally exhausted. They may have nothing in the gas tank. So when you suggest a solution, it might make 100% sense. But they are not ready or even able to do it. Instead of telling them what they need to do, this is what you need to do. Well, I know what you need to do. Or you know what you need to do. Don't do that. Come on now. Instead of telling them what they need to do, ask them, is there anything I can do to help? The reason why this is important to ask is their answer may surprise you. They may say something different than you expected. They may say something along the lines of helping them to build margin, to be able to have the capacity to try to solve the problem. Or they may tell you, no, they're not ready yet. And if so, that's okay. That's where you need to back off and just let them have some space. You can follow up with, you know, my offer will always stand. So if there's anything I can do, I'm always happy to help. And if you really are a fixer and you're having trouble with this, you can do what's called a soft nudge. Meaning if somebody talks to me about an issue or a problem they have, I might send them a podcast or a book recommendation, either text or email. Say nothing else. I don't even usually follow up on it. I just, you know, if they're talking about something, I'm like, oh man, like, they're telling me they're struggling with this. I know that there are solutions for this, but I also know that they're not really ready yet. But when they are ready, it would be awesome for them to have this resource. So I do a soft nudge, and I might send them a podcast or a book recommendation. But what I don't do is tell them, oh, come on now, you can do this. You can do it. You're tough enough. You can handle it. They might not be ready. If they've been struggling and they're just voicing it to you now, it wasn't like this was the first moment of struggle. They've likely been struggling for a while. They're exhausted, they're tired, they're frustrated, they're worn out. They have a million other things going on in life. They just simply might not be ready. Remember that solving problems requires effort. It requires new actions, new thoughts, new. You have to do new. And a lot of people aren't ready to do new yet. So, again, when someone complains about an issue, instead of telling them what they need to do, ask them, is there anything I can do to help? I believe as this trainer continues to implement these lessons, he's going to build deeper connections, and he'll not only increase and sustain his clientele, but he'll find himself happier in his job. And this will absolutely improve his other relationships as well. And that's why I wanted to share this content, was I thought it could help anyone. Even if you're not a trainer, this could be helpful information to help you create deeper connections if you're wanting to do so. So our three tips were, create a reminder. Don't default, stay focused. So you have to remind yourself, otherwise you will just default to what you normally do. Because you're going to have a million other things you're doing in life, a million other things you're trying to work on. If you don't stay focused on this, you will default to old habits, so set a reminder. The second tip was respond with a question. Remember to listen twice before speaking. You have two ears and one mouth. Use them in that proportion. The third tip is ask if they need help. Don't be a fixer, be a friend. Okay. Well, I hope that helps. If you have any questions, if you need anything, my email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you're interested in any of our services, you can find those on our website, www.brutalirongym.com, on our one-on-one services section. We're also doing a free 15-minute consultation right now. So if you are interested in working with me, you can sign up for a free 15-minute consultation on our website, or you can just shoot me an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'll send you the information and a link to get that all started and set up. Awesome. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.